Welcome to The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and a message on God's timeline today. The Encouraging Word. The timeline that God has for each of us, and in particular for the world in which we live, is sometimes a little frightening. Today you'll find comfort in God's encouraging word as we go to the book of Revelation chapter 16 in just a moment with our teacher, Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author and evangelist. And today his priority is to open God's word and let God speak. As we do so, he also wants you to know we're here to pray with you and for you. 866-899-WORD is our phone number. Jot it down, store it in your cell. It's 866-899-9673, or you can connect online at tewonline.org. As we open the Word together, we're anticipating God to speak. And now, our pastor, Dr. Don.
Well, look with me at Revelation 16 and verse 13. I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth, number one, of the dragon, out of the mouth, number two, of the beast, and out of the mouth, number three, of the false prophet. Who is that? That's the unholy trinity let loose upon the earth during the tribulation. The dragon, Satan himself, the beast, the head of the established Roman Empire, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the head of the religious system, who is going to become an ally of the Antichrist during all of this. Isn't it ironic that the world today is moving more and more in line with an allyship between the religious order of the day and secular humanism? You know that more and more godlessness in the world today is looking more and more to religious groups to support their godless behavior. Folks, today major conventions, denominations are meeting all over the world. The Anglican Episcopalian Church met in Scotland for their annual huge meeting with Episcopalians. And let me just tell you right now, I've met some of the finest born-again believers who are Episcopalians. I'm not talking about individuals. I'm talking about the denomination, the whole group, the unit, per se. The Church of England met in Scotland, and the only subject for debate and discussion was to what extent the Anglican Church was going to sanction and support the homosexual lifestyle. God says, if you want to know about the context of Armageddon, just look at what's going on. The preparation is everywhere. The demand more and more is going to be for the church to ally and to support godlessness. And folks, somewhere, somehow, there are going to be some born-again believers who are going to stand up and who are going to say it doesn't matter what happens or who says what and how much we feel or how much we think. We are going to stand upon the Word of God. We're going to stand upon the Word of God. And so I'm going to submit to you that the rapture of the church is the only thing that remains. If you want to say to me, Pastor, when is the Battle of Armageddon going to take place? It's going to take place at the end of the tribulation. And we're only going to be able to know when the end of the tribulation takes place when all of us are out of here. I think on my way up there, I'm going to say, start counting. We're not going to know until the rapture of the church takes place. And so some of you are going to say, well, Pastor, when does the rapture take place? I don't know. Anyone here know? I don't know. See, that's not the important thing. The important thing is, are we ready for the rapture? If the rapture were to take place tonight, if Jesus Christ was to blow that trumpet right now and we were to be caught up together with him and to meet the Lord in the air, the question is this: are you ready? I am. Not because of me, but because of the Lord. And I know the majority of you are, and I pray that all who listen to my voice on radio and are listening to this message, I pray that you are ready to go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. That's why we meet together. All right, number two, the setting. Where is this going to take place? Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16. I'm going to just read this verses 13 through 16 for you very quickly, Revelation 16. Then I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are spirits of demons performing miraculous signs, and they go out to the kings of the whole world. By the way, who's going to be involved in Armageddon? The whole world. To do what? To gather them for the battle on the great day of God Almighty. This is Jesus now. Behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him, so that he may go naked, not go naked, and be shamefully exposed. What is Jesus saying here at this juncture? Just what I said just a moment ago, and the Apostle John on the island of Patmos, under the inspiration of God, is reminding us right here that God is talking about Armageddon and the antics and the tactics of the Antichrist. And he says, excuse me, just by the way, I hope that you're ready. Bottom line is, I hope that you've trusted me as your Savior. Verse 16, then they gathered the kings together to the place that in the Hebrew tongue is called Armageddon, or the Valley of Megiddo. The Valley of Megiddo. Napoleon Bonaparte, speaking in 1803, made this statement as he marched his armies across the European front. He said that the Valley of Megiddo is the world's greatest natural battlefield. I don't know that Napoleon Bonaparte really understood how prophetic his words really were, because according to historians, Napoleon anything but knew about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he was banished to the island of Elba and then St. Helena, where he died in misery, he was so close to the Valley of Megiddo that I don't think that Napoleon really understood what he had said. We must understand that the Battle of Armageddon is a developing battle. Now, one of the things that I have always thought, if you would understand what I'm saying, I've always kind of thought of the Battle of Armageddon as a specific time and space. It's going to happen on Tuesday morning, right there at Megiddo from 9 to 12. And that's the Battle of Armageddon. That is the climactic moment of the Battle of Armageddon. But the Bible says that Armageddon is a process that culminates in the Valley of Megiddo. It is a developing scene, if you please. And I've spoken to you about all the wars, conflict with Israel. I've spoken to you about the removal of the Holy Spirit from the world during the rapture, and about Satan's persecution of the Jews and the unholy alliance that exists between Satan and so on as they operate upon the world. But the Bible tells us about this developing battle. First place I'm going to go to, and it's a tough one to find, folks. I want you to know that I cheated, and I've already got it marked in my Bible here. So if you want to just listen, I'm in Joel chapter 3. And for those of you that are struggling, that is not in the New Testament, that's the Old Testament. Joel chapter 3. If you can look there right toward the end of the Old Testament, Joel, book of Joel and chapter 3. Fascinating passage here in the prophecy of Joel, and I want you to listen to this. Verse 2, I will gather all nations, and I will bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And by the way, the word Jehoshaphat, literally interpreted from the Hebrew tongue, means the Lord judges, or the Lord as judge. Well, what is Megiddo, or Armageddon? Armageddon is the final judgment of our Lord upon Satan and upon his cohorts. So the Bible says here, I will bring all nations, bring them down into the valley of the final judgment of the Lord, the valley of Jehoshaphat. And there I will enter into judgment against them concerning my inheritance, my people Israel. Why am I going to judge them? Because they scattered my people among the nations and they divided up my land. And the rest of that prophecy deals with what happened to Israel. And if you jump with me all the way over to verse 12 of Joel chapter 3, here's what the Bible says. Let the nations be roused. Let them advance into the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the nations on every side, north, south, east and west. So what have we got? We've got the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Now watch this, folks. The Valley of Jehoshaphat we're going to find on the east side of Jerusalem. In Isaiah chapter 34, I'm not going to read this because it's too long, but write it down if you'd like to. In Isaiah chapter 34, almost the whole chapter, in Isaiah chapter 36, the prophecies of Isaiah, you're going to read about Edom, where the Lord will come from upon His return, His second coming. And so the prophet Isaiah is going to put Armageddon and the growing battle of Armageddon from the south of Jerusalem. We've got Joel, who's talking to us about this great movement beginning in the east. We've got Isaiah talking about the southern part of Jerusalem that you can see very distinctly when you stand on the Mount of Olives. And then the third area is Jerusalem itself, which right throughout Scripture talks about Jerusalem as being the center of all this conflict. But now I want you to turn just a few pages back to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. We're going to discover something here. In Revelation chapter 14, we've got something rather alarming. Here we've got this conflict coming from north, as Daniel chapter 11 tells us, from the south, the kings of the south. They're coming from the east, according to Joel. They're going to come from the center of Jerusalem, and Jesus Christ is going to move through Jerusalem toward this meeting point. And the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 20 that there is going to be blood shed at Armageddon, such of which we cannot even begin to describe. Let me read to you, for example, verses 19 and 20 of Revelation 14. The angel swung his sickle on the earth, gathered its grapes, and threw them into the great winepress of God's wrath.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, and we'll be back with the conclusion of today's message, God's Timeline for the Ages, in just a moment. But Dr. Wilton wants me to remind you, we're here for you 24 hours a day on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Maybe you've missed part of the series and would like to discover more resources from Dr. Don. You can hear it again and discover more at our website, tewonline.org. Or know this, we'd love to pray with you and for you on our phone number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Anytime, day or night, we'd be happy to pray with you and for you and maybe connect you with some great resources that'll help you grow in your faith. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
What did we say at the beginning about the anger of God? Now watch what's happening here, folks. Okay? Are you ready for this? When we drive through Megiddo and go on up across the little mountain tops and down toward the Sea of Galilee, you're going to find something. Very fertile land in Israel. You're going to find a lot of vineyards, grapes. And so the prophet here is talking about the grapes of God's wrath. John Steinbeck wrote a book called The Grapes of Wrath. And I've often wondered whether he understood the biblical context in which he was making some of the statements that he made in such an important book, a novel in our day and age. But here, the prophet, the apostle John, writing on the island of Patmos under the inspiration of God's Spirit, talks about the fact that the angel that he swung his sickle. What happens when you swing a sickle? It means that you decapitate the life-giving force that enables a grape to grow. In other words, you kill it. You strike it dead. And the Word of God says that at Megiddo, or the Battle of Armageddon, that God's angels are going to strike the sickle, are going to decapitate humankind, and that man is going to be thrown like grapes into the wine press of God's wrath. In those days, how they used to make the wine was that they would throw the grapes into these big vats, and then they would get slaves who would just simply walk around and they would just simply stamp on the grapes. That was a wine press. And what happened when they stamped on the grapes? They just squashed the lights out of them. And when they squashed the lights out of them, what happened to the juice? The juice began to run out of little holes on the side of the wine presses, and they would have buckets, and the grape juice would run out, and it would be red grape juice. And the Bible says that what's going to happen at Megiddo is that men, women, boys, and girls are going to be thrown into the wine press of God's wrath, and they were going to be trampled in the wine press outside the city. And the blood flowed out of the press, rising as high as horses' bridles for a distance of about 1,600 stadia. Now watch this, folks. What is going to happen at Armageddon? The blood is going to flow so much, and I'm going to show you why in just a moment. There is going to be such a killing field at Armageddon that the blood is going to rise to the level of a horse's bridle. So that's how high it's going to be. And it's going to be as wide as 1,600 stadia, which is approximately 200 miles in length. Guess what? How long is Palestine? 200 miles in length. God is saying that the battlefield of Armageddon is going to flow with the blood of those who have dared to stand against the righteousness of a holy God. It's incredible. Number three, why? Well, good question, why? Why would God allow this to happen? Why would a God who's a God of grace allow such a terrible thing to happen? Let me share with you a number of potential reasons. And I've spoken about some of these, if you'd beg my pardon, and I'm just going to move on. Number one, the end of God's grace. If I could just say this to the parents, because I think you'll understand. You know when your son or daughter says, could I do this? And you say, no, I don't think so. And then they come back a minute later and say, don't you think I could do, please let me do this. Won't you let me do this? Won't you do that? And you say, no, no, you're not doing that. And then eventually they say, but I've got to do that. Please, Dad, won't you let me do that? And you say, no, no, son, you cannot do that. And then they come back again 2 minutes later and they say, well, look, I spoke to mommy. Can't I do that? Well, I don't care if you spoke to mommy. You could have spoken to the Queen of England. It wouldn't have made any difference. You're not going to do that. And then 2 minutes later, they come back and say, but daddy, please. And eventually you look at them and you're a gracious daddy and you say, no. And one more word out of you and I will publicly decapitate you. And that's why parents have got brain damage. We know that. There is a sense here in which God, folks, listen to me. There's a sense in which God has constantly said, I forgive. Don't do that. Won't you follow me? Would you take up your word? Go that way. Do this. All right, I'm listening. Yeah, what is that you need? Okay, I'll supply all you need. No, don't. Don't you do that to me. You've hurt me. I cannot. But that, and this has just gone on and on and on and on. And the battle of Armageddon is where God suddenly steps up to the plate of all eternity and he says, that's it, no more, it's over. Number two, eternal time. That's a good reason. It's one that I cannot answer. We don't know all the answers to that. Number three, the wrath of God against sin. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 15, you and I have spoken about that, but let me read it to you. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 15. Now, folks, if this doesn't get our attention, then I don't know. And we know that in Revelation chapter 19, we've got described from verse 11, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when does Jesus come for the second time? He comes right there at the final stages of the Battle of Armageddon. So at the end of Revelation chapter 19, God gives us an explanation for what God has done. Well, what is his explanation? Look at verse 15. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the wine press of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, I am the King of Kings, and I alone am the Lord of Lords. Thus, it is written. That's who God is. Yes, the wrath of God against sin. Number four, maybe a fourth reason why he's going to do this is because of the judgment of nations related to their persecution of Israel. Remember in Genesis 12, God came to Abraham. Then you have the Abrahamic covenant, and God said, listen, I will curse those who curse you. Well, guess what they've been doing? We find a lot about that in Daniel, don't we? Remember all the way back to some of those princes that came out of Greece. Remember all the things that Daniel taught us about the persecution of the Jews. And here God says, listen, I made a covenant with Israel. I'm going to keep my word. Number 5, Joel chapter 3 and verse 2. Because all nations are going to be dealt with in this valley according to the word of God. Dr. David Jeremiah, whom I've done 2 Bible studies with on Bible study cruises, made this statement, and I quote him, the campaign of God, which is Armageddon, is a visual aid of the wrath of God upon those who have rejected him. It is a vivid picture of the real spiritual, theological significance of what God thinks of sin. Well, number 4, who are the participants? Who's going to participate in this? Well, number 1, Bible tells us, we've looked at that, I'm not going to go through it in details, the 10 Kingdom Federation, we know that. The revival of the former Roman Empire brought together by the Antichrist. We've discussed that, the 10 horns of Daniel chapter 9, 10, 11. Here in the book of Revelation, the conglomeration, I believe, the United States of Europe. Even as we speak tonight, there are continuing deep discussions with regard to the United Nations of Europe. Number 2, the second group of participants are going to be the Northern Confederation. It always amuses me. Just recently, our president, President Clinton, went to Moscow and met with the new Russian president. Some people believe that when communism was dismantled per se, and that the satellite states and the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics was brought, as it were, to her knees, that that was the end of the Russian threat. According to Scripture, I don't believe that for a minute. I don't have time to get into all of this. The Bible even tells us in Revelation chapter 15, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 8, that the deceitfulness of the nations is going to find its ultimate expression in Gog and Magog. And we know from the Second World War that the Russians were known as the Magogites. They've always been called that. They are called the king or the kings of the north. And that the armies that are going to march down upon Palestine during this time are going to come from the Northern Confederation. Then, of course, Daniel chapter 11 talks about the kings of the east. That is China, the Japanese. It is all the nations that are on the eastern side going out. If you stand upon Masada and you look across to Amman, Jordan, and you'll be looking across to the east. When I was a couple of years ago in China, I went up onto the Gobi Desert, G-O-B-I, the Gobi Desert in northern China and southern Mongolia, and then I flew across the extent of that incredible place. You cannot even begin to imagine the highways that are being constructed, even as we speak today, to transport massive, massive numbers of people, literally from the east to the Mediterranean region. Now, you couldn't have said this years ago. They talk about the Silk Route. Even now as we speak, there are highways that are being constructed that are going to make their way through Tibet. One of the reasons the Chinese will not let go of Tibet is because Tibet is part of the gateway to the world. It has nothing to do with the Dalai Lama and his exile and the Tibetan monks and all the traditions. It has to do with a control of the routes to the West. America today is opening up free trade to China and rewarding the Chinese government left and right for their flagrant persecution of Christians and of everything else that goes on. And there are all kinds of alliances that are made between even Republicans and Democrats up in the House of Representatives and the Senate. And as long as the bottom line is in place, it doesn't matter who persecutes what. We're just going to go and make all kinds of alliances to make certain that trade with China remains in place. I believe that we are marching down God's intended purpose for mankind.
What a powerful message from Dr. Don Wilton. And as we think about God's intended purpose for mankind, you can know that God has a purpose for you as well. He has a plan. And it's a plan that will build you up. It's a plan that's good for you. We'd love to talk with you, pray with you about that at 866-899-WORD. That's our phone number, 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. Before we get away, perhaps the most important thoughts from our pastor are next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you. And I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place.
If the Lord has spoken to you, let us put resources in your hands that will help you grow. Call us now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to pray with you and for you and put those resources in your hands. Or you can meet us online at tewonline.org, where you'll discover great resources like this.
What happens the moment you die? Where do you go? Will we see our loved ones in heaven? Dr. Don Wilton looks at these questions and more in The Absolute Certainty of Life After Death, a modern retelling of the biblical story of the rich man and Lazarus. This compelling story chronicles the choices and fate of two very different but ordinary men, one very rich, one very poor, and what happened when they both died. Call us at 866-899-9673 to request your copy of The Absolute Certainty of Life After Death book today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry, supporting God's truth around the world. Thank you for your support.
You see, the sun hardly rises or sets in a day that we don't see people come to know Christ through this broadcast ministry every day. And you make that possible through your prayers, most of all, and through your financial giving. God is doing something great. And in our world today, this media, very important, folks. This is very, very important. God is allowing us to go into more and more homes across the United States of America. Thank you for helping us make this possible. And let's never stop praying that people would come to know Jesus. God bless you.
That number again is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org.